He's in the world of trouble. He is down.
That's it.
He's down.
I mean, I'm not the scariest, but I'm the baddest.
Hell yeah!
The heavyweight champion of the world, ladies and gentlemen, Stipe Miocic.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered.
Please tell me that's on video. I've never been happier.
I'm made for a fucking podcast. That's dangerous. Listen to me. We're at it.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. We have another champion. Isn't this a great segue? Heavyweight champ Stipe Miocic.
Thank you.
Joins us.
I spoke prematurely.
Well, you didn't let me get to your part. I was going to say, and we also have a friend champ. You're a combination. You're a friend champ.
No, let's not. We got to lose that friend champ. French champ?
I love it. Friend champ. You're my friend champ.
I like the cup, Jimmy. You have everything but Chip Chipperson underwear.
I'm going to work on them too. Yeah.
I think people would buy them.
A lot of room in the front, you know.
Jimmy, how much fun was Dean Thomas?
I love him. Very fun. And congratulations to Jillian. Jillian Robertson is now on the main card.
I was about to say she didn't fight yet, Jimmy. It's a little premature.
No. But for being on the main card, which is, you know, obviously a really a nice thing. Because didn't we talk to her about the prelims or something like that?
Yes, we did.
And she's like, hey, I'm on the prelims. So her and Miranda Maverick are on the main card together. So good for them.
That Miranda Maverick was just at my school in Huntington like a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. She was passing through doing a book signing or something, or some kind of signing, or maybe not a book signing. I don't know if she wrote a book. What am I fucking saying?
Yeah, just making sure.
She did like a meet and greet or something. So she stopped by. Very nice girl. Very nice girl. So, you know, I'm excited for that. I'm excited for the fights in general.
Yeah, me too, man. This fight, it sucks about Volkanovski and Brian Ortega. It happens. You know, I'm sure they'll reschedule as soon as possible, hopefully within a month or two.
I hope I gave enough shine list this episode to that little Brazilian. What was he, Silva? What was it, the name of the Brazilian that got that knockout, like one of the first fights of the night? I feel horrible. I should have talked more about it and I didn't. Guys, look that up. Little Brazilian guy. I think it's Silva. Oh, I don't have my notes in front of me and I got ADD. Jimmy, do you smile at my ADD or just? Yeah. Yes, it is. It's Bruno Silva. He looked fucking excellent.
I don't like that you weren't sure. You said, who's that guy, Silva? And then it pops up and you go, yeah, it is. It's Bruno Silva. Like somebody had said it wasn't. None of us were saying that it was not. You were saying it like one of us said it was.
Jimmy, I'm going to I'm gonna put my sword away.
All right.
Sometimes I just come out swinging. Listen, Jimmy, you know why I'm so happy lately? Why do I ask you questions where I just set myself up to be an idiot?
Because I do know why you're so happy lately.
What?
Your co-host.
What about him?
You have a marvelous co-host.
Well, I'm going to say that adds to my happiness.
Okay.
Let me tell you, you know what? I think you're right. I think it is you. All right.
Thank you. All right.
So we got I've been teaching a lot. I've been teaching at my school a lot.
Yeah. It feels good, right?
You know what's nice though? I'm telling you right now, there was a while that like a year, like throughout this whole thing, you know, I lost one school and it looked like it was uncertain, the future. It's like, yo, what is going to happen? Is this like the flashpoint paradox where it's like an alternate like universe where things are going to like things, the new normal, and nobody's ever going to go back to training? And Jimmy, I maybe shouldn't have made that analogy of the flashpoint paradox. But what I'm trying to say is that it looks it looks like we're back. It looks like things are coming back.
They are. I started booking shows. I have a couple booked in August.
Where?
But one's in Buffalo, one's in Michigan. They were makeup shows. It doesn't feel comfortable yet because there's a little spike here and a little spike there and then that. But it feels like we're moving in the right direction quickly. And any little step backs are going to be temporary, quick step backs before we move forward again. So, yeah, I feel very good about how it's moving.
Getting the vaccine.
I will, yeah. Yeah, I don't know when, but I will get it. Sure. Why not? I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
10 years from now, you develop some kind of growth.
That's all right. That my a doctor friend of mine ran through what the difference between this vaccine is And there's a couple of different ones, but what exactly it is they're putting in your...
Oh, and?
I don't know.
Paging Dr. Norton.
No, my friend's a doctor.
Oh,
and he told me, and he made good, perfectly good sense as to why the flu was not here this year. And he made really, he explained a lot of the things that kind of people look at conspiratorial. He had a very, very good explanation for that was very rational.
What if I tell you I haven't gotten sick in a minute?
Yeah, me neither. In a year.
In a minute. You ever use that like a kid? You ever use that? Like, yeah, I haven't seen you in a minute.
No, not even if it's only been a minute. I won't say it. Even if it's only been 60 seconds, I'll say it's been a little while to avoid that phrase.
Fuck, Jimmy. Oh, you got to stop trying to act young.
All right, oh, come on. I'm just throwing a little shade.
Come on.
See?
But I want the opposite. I want some shine. I don't know. Oh. Listen, boo.
Support for UFC Unfiltered comes from GovX.com, the ultimate gear destination for professional patriots. GovX membership is available only to Americans with service-related backgrounds like military law enforcement, firefighting, emergency medical, and more. Recreational gear, professional tactical equipment, smartwatches, backpacks. If there's some badass activity you absolutely live for, GovX has the gear for it. You guys know you can't just work out in any old clothes. You got to put thought into that. The right shorts, the right shoes, hell, even the right socks can make all the difference in the gym. What do you want to look stupid? You want to look good. At GovX, your orders absolutely matter. You know why? Because every month, GovX donates to nonprofits honoring American heroes. GovX and its members have supported nonprofits like Paralyzed Veterans of America, Firefighter Aid, the Green Beret Foundation, Team Rubicon, Folds of Honor, and so many more. So if you qualify for membership, if you have a current or former background in a uniform service, sign up now. Membership is absolutely free. For a limited time, get $15 off your first order of $50 or more with coupon code UFC15. That's UFC15. Plus, all GovX memberships get up to 15% off gear at UFCstore.com when you check out with your GovX ID. Support for UFC Unfiltered comes from the official hair restoration partner of UFC Hair Club. UFC fans notoriously take pride in the way they look. They train hard and it shows in their physique. But if you're not dedicated to your hair health, you're really not giving 100%. For over 40 years, our hair loss experts have helped over 500,000 clients regrow, replace, and restore their hair. Hair Club offers complimentary in-center and virtual consultation hair health experts to help you learn about custom solutions to regain your hair. Invest in yourself and find out which Hair Club solution will work for you. Schedule a free, no-obligation hair health checkup by visiting hairclub.com/UFC or texting knockout to 694-247. Text knockout to 694-247 or go to hairclub.com/UFC to schedule a free, no obligation hair health checkup. Hair Club, love your hair, live your life. You can't make Stipe wait. You don't make the heavyweight champion wait for anything.
Bullshit.
I forget he can hear us before he could. I'm glad I wasn't bad-mouthing him. Hey, buddy.
How good he looks. What's up there, champion?
Hey, sir. How you doing?
Clark Kent style. Look at him.
Yeah.
You could tell those glasses. Look at that, the chin. You're made to be a superhero.
Yeah.
No big deal.
Maybe it's because I just watched the new Justice League Snyder's cut. But you
Are you watching? Is it good?
Stipe, so good. Forget about that other 2017 piece of shit. It's this one. That thing got cut up. Poor Zack Snyder. That guy must be like, I'm attached to that shit. No, this is epic. You got some time to kill this week. You should watch. It's like 4 hours long.
Yeah, I'm excited for that. So I'm actually might start doing that tonight.
Did your wife? I was watching the, I think it was the embedded, and you leave the baby with the in-laws or your parents, and she'll travel with you. Does she watch stuff like that with you, or do you kind of have to watch it by yourself because she hates it?
Well, I'm in the fight, so I can't watch it. You know.
No, not the fight. I mean, like the Justice League movie.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the fight.
No, that would have been an awful question. Yeah. Do you guys sit and watch your own fight? No.
Yeah, no. She'll watch it if I want, but she don't care. She it's usually housewives or something like that. You know, she's all about the reality shows.
You guys don't have shows you watch together, like certain series or anything?
Yeah, I do. It's the ones I have no choice. I have to sit there and lay in bed and watch with her. So I do actually get into it. But well, I watch a lot of Housewives, like Below Deck. What's that one out in South Carolina? I can't think of the name of it right now.
Honey Boo Boo. No, I'm only kidding.
Around. So we watch a lot of documentaries together and stuff like that. You know, good stuff. Netflix and chill.
See, that's good. Yeah. See, sometimes when you have too many shows you watch together, like the new Justice League movie, I watch it with family, and I'm not going to say this too loud. I watch most of it first by myself. It's 4 hours, and they had dance all week. Oh, we'll watch it. It's like I was having like an affair. I was secretly watching. Watching it. I was doing something wrong. But that. Sleeping.
I'm the same way. Trust me, I'm the same way. 100%.
You know, Stipe's got it all figured out. He can't lose. In a sense, when I see his life at the firehouse with his family, if you had all the money in the world or nothing, I think you're living the same exact way. Does that make sense? You don't. It's not like you became some Hollywood dude and look, I'm the champ. I'm quitting this job. I'm getting a bigger house. I'm getting this and that. I'm saying you're living well, but you have life figured out to me.
Well, it's mostly my wife. she's the one that steers the ship, man. She's awesome. She does a lot. You know, she does a lot for the family, make sure we're doing the right things. And you know, like one thing is what I know I do, and she takes it from me too, is that I don't live out of my means. You know, it's not about me and her anymore. It's about our children.
Yeah, but I don't. But were you that guy anyway? I don't see. Even if you were single, I don't see you being super fancy, like having the latest fucking, I don't know. I'm not saying you're some bum, Steve. I'm saying you're walking around with holes in your socks. I'm saying I don't see you all like blinged out. It doesn't look like your style.
Yeah, no, I'm real frugal. You know, I just like to just keep to myself, like, you know, just keep my money tight. And I can live in a shoebox. Like, I don't care. Just give me, you know, like I used to live above my coach. All I had was his attic. All I had was a TV, a bed, and a beanbag chair.
What is it that makes you go? Because I'm amazed that you're still a fireman. Like I know you stay grounded, but what? That's like a dangerous thing to do. What makes you say like, yeah, I still want to take this risk?
I love what I do. You know, I love helping people, and I just love everything about, you know, what the fire service is all about. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that, honestly.
Does it remove, like, when you're fighting guys like Cormier or Ngannou? Does it remove some of the fear? In the case, like when you make a relative comparison, your day job is actually way more dangerous than this. You're one of the few cases of people who have a more dangerous job than fighting outside of fighting. Does it balance it at all the way you feel about it?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they go in hand in hand together because you have to be calm and collective, but they, you know, they do, it does help me out a lot. You know, it keeps me grounded. The guys at the station don't treat me any different. You know, they don't care. They're like, all right, we got to mop the floors. Let's mop the floors. We got to clean the trucks. You know, we got we got to do some training. Like, nothing changes. I don't get to do what I want. Like, you know, I'm just like one of the guys, and it is awesome. And we don't really talk about fighting. It's kind of nice. They don't really bring it up. We just kind of do our thing and we just hang out.
You know, what's funny, man. I always hear the guys that are firemen, because I have a lot of firemen students and friends, and it's a brotherhood. We're all, you know, we have a good time. We eat the dinner together and this and that. But you never really hear them being like, is this one dickhead in the firehouse? Like if there's somebody in my school that comes in and they're a dickhead, we can just get them out of there, man. Roll hard with them. Be like, listen, this ain't place in for you, and get them out. Do you ever have a guy that, like, you're like, oh, now we're stuck with this dude in the firehouse for fucking 20 years? Or do you be like, look, we're going to make it uncomfortable for this guy to get out of here? Or does this just never happen to you?
I mean, there's guys that don't like each other, but they're still cordial and they still work together. You know what I mean? It's just, you know, we only work 24 hours together. Like, well, they do. I'm part-time, so I pick my shifts. But, like, you know, if there's someone you don't like, you just, you know, kind of keep a distance. But, like, you know, you still got to work with them. And, you know, most of the time, everyone's good with each other. Honestly, everyone's, you know, they're there for a job. You know, it's not about them. It's about, you know, helping others and make sure the city's safe.
I want to ask you something about your training, because when I seen your last fight with DC, your body, I don't know what you weighed, but you looked like more like leaner. Like, I don't know if you've been, it looks like you've been swimming or something. I don't know what I'm looking at. Did you change it? You always look in shape, but you looked like, I don't know, you looked leaner or something. Are you doing something different diet-wise? Are you swimming or what's up?
Well, first off, thank you for looking at my body. It means a lot that you're checking me out.
he was harping about it off air too. He couldn't stop talking about it.
No, you know, yeah, I did swimming the last, you know, couple
training session. I'm training a couple training camps. You know, and this one I had to actually go to the rec center right up the street from me, just because, you know, I have a pool in my house, but it's winter and we can't really swim in the middle of winter. But so, you know, it was good. The swimming helps a lot, especially when you're sore and beat up and your joints hurt. It's just kind of soothing, and just, you know, you can still move and just, it feels good. I love everything about the pool, and, you know, I'm eating better too, and, you know, taking the right supplements and stuff like that.
You know, it's funny, man. Like, I know you guys have to fight, but I think that of all the guys Ngannou has fought, first of all, you've obviously beaten him. I think you are probably more in his head than anybody he's had to face. There's a really funny moment with you guys where you tell him that you like his shirt.
Yeah.
And it seemed like a genuine moment.
I swear to God, it was a nice shirt.
Yeah, it was a nice shirt. But the way he reacted, like he couldn't believe that you were relaxed enough or comfortable enough to just make an offhanded compliment like that. Like, I think it really took him off guard that you were as quietly confident and comfortable as you are.
Yeah, listen, I got no shame in my game. You know, it's really hard for me to be embarrassed or anything like that. Just listen, man, if I see something nice, I'm going to tell you it's nice. You know what I mean? I'm not going to tell him it looks like crap and all, but if it's a nice shirt, I'm going to tell him it's a nice shirt. It was a nice shirt.
Yeah, but he kept looking for you to say something shitty, and you're like, no, I'm telling you, it's a nice shirt. It was just an odd moment.
Yeah, no, it was. Yeah, no, I was like, I just want to tell him, I was just like, hopefully he takes it well, you know, and he did, so thank God.
Is he any big? Because you said to him, oh, you're a lot bigger than me, because he was going to give it to you. You know, like, he joked about that. Is he the same size as the last time you fought, or does he look bigger than last time?
I don't know. I haven't seen him yet.
Okay.
Yeah, I probably won't see him until Friday.
When I think of that, like, you know, where people's head is at, where everybody's head's at, like, I don't worry about Stipe with that, but I think of Francis. Like, when I watched that first press conference and somebody asked Stipe if he was, like, I don't know if he was scared. I swear to God, something like that, along those lines of, you're fighting Francis. And Stipe gave a good answer of not afraid of any man and yada, yada. And Francis said something along the lines of, like, he's lying or something. I swear to God, he knows when I connect. And he had the sunglasses on at the thing. Like, he really was so used to just touching people, putting them to sleep. I swear I felt he thought he was going to – he even said he underestimated
the
change, which is not the best thing to say.
I respected the honesty of it, though. I respected the honesty of admitting that he had that ridiculous thought.
He was totally honest in everything he was saying. Even when I even think he thought that Stipe might have been afraid. I swear, he's believing everything. And then after what happened in the fight where Stipe fought beautifully and shut him after that first round, it's amazing that he made it the whole time. That, you got to give Francis something for that. Holy fuck. Going back to his stool, he was like, looked like he got into a train wreck. He was like, fuck. He looked like he that's when he realized this is something different after that first round.
Yeah.
And then we saw how he fought afterwards versus the Black Beast. I'm wondering, he gets in there with Stipe. Does he come at him like he did with Roger Strike? Or is he like, fuck, I remember this guy. You might have gave him nightmares. I'm telling you. Shit. I'm just rambling.
No, I remember he said I was intimidated or something like that at the press conference. I do remember that. But yeah, I mean, listen, I mean, try to hype it up. I get it, you know. But listening to the day, I'm, you know, listen, the one I'm afraid of is my wife.
Yep.
Terrified.
Relate to that.
You're such a smart fighter. I was thinking of this today too. You're such a smart fighter. Like knowing how to wear on him and to grind on him. And against Cormier in the second fight, that I was third or fourth round when you start hitting the body and you can see that he's not defending that well. Is that one of those things, or are those both things that you kind of see in advance and prepare for, or it was like more intuitive in the moment? Like, you're just kind of sensing that this is the direction to go in.
It's a little bit of both. You know, we work on it all the time. And I think in the mid-fight, you know, we me and my coaches talk about it. And like in the second DC fight, I actually hit him in the second round with it, and he didn't like it. And I just didn't catch right away. And usually I'm pretty keen on catching it. And I didn't. And my coach even said something. He's like, hey, dude, you got him. Let's do it again. And I was like, yeah, sure. And I just didn't do it again until the fourth round. But but after the fourth round, I hit him that one time. I'm like, oh, you know what? Let's try it again. And I did it again. I'm like, all right, we got something. You're done. I found the chink in the armor.
You felt it, right? You could feel it.
Yep.
What do you think? And again, you never know what's in another man's mind, but what do you think of the changes Ngannou might have made since that fight, since the flight with Derek Lewis, where he seemed afraid to pull the trigger, and then the four since? Do you think he's made improvements, or do you think that guys have just been intimidated by him?
No, he's definitely made improvements. I mean, you have to in this game. I mean, Mario can tell you have to evolve. If you don't evolve, you're not going to be going anywhere. And know, he's definitely improved. He's working on everything. But unfortunately, so have I. You know, I mean, I'm getting older. Everyone's like, oh, you're getting older. I'm like, that's great. But I'm getting better. You know, I have amazing coaches and teammates, and I'm listening and I'm learning my body and figuring things out. And, you know, I'm getting better as I go. I'm like a wine, like a fine wine. The older I get, the better it is.
Hey, look at Brunson and Kevin Holland. I mean, you know, everybody said Derek's getting older, and look what Derek Brunson just did to Holland, and then Shabazzian before him. It doesn't that doesn't seem to matter.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. I think you know, if you just, you know, implement a game plan and be smart about it, and, you know, you figure things out as you go. I mean, because nothing's ever perfect at a fight. You wish it is, but it usually isn't. And so you always got to go from plan A to plan B to C, D, plus five, seven. You just go to whatever plan you get to.
Yeah,
it still works.
Have you spoken to your good friend Gian Vellante lately?
He came over. He was over for a week. He broke everything in my house.
What do you mean? What do you mean?
Okay, so we got new flooring in my house. Let me start here. So we got new flooring in my house, and so they went to put the bed back, and we have the wood sticks on the bed. So they're off. So I fixed them because they fell apart. So not fell apart, but they kind of just angled off. So John helped me fix it. And no joke, like, it was everybody the same day. We're chasing my daughter. She runs in the bedroom from John. John takes his fat butt and just belly flops onto my bed. I just watched her bed go, ka-koosh. I go, are you serious? She's like, bro, it was already broke. Bro, seriously, it was already broke. He was like, I was so, I just looked at him like, whatever, dude. I'm like, well, so we took it out. I just took it out because they're destroyed. And then we have a baby gate for the basement. I'm sitting there and he crushed it. It hasn't moved in over, it never fell apart ever.
Yeah. Okay.
Twice while he was there. And then the one time he was too lazy to lift his luggage over. She was trying to pull through and it wasn't going to fit. So he said, yeah. And he said it's broken. And he tried to tell me that it was stripped, which I said, how's it stripped when there's no nails involved? And yeah, it was, there's so much more, but he's awesome. My wife was like, it's time for him to go. She loves John more than anything, though.
And he got a little chubby Vellante. He's got...
Oh, that kid. Thank God that kid looks like his mom. Thank God.
I think he did that. He gained the weight. I think he's blaming it on, like, helping you for your camps to gain weight to help you. That's not true, though. He's just getting chubby. No.
He was already big before that. Yeah. So, I love that guy. Actually, we actually talked to him yesterday a little bit. Him and his little man were shopping with mom. Must have FaceTime to say hi. He's just like, you know, he's a cute kid.
Yes, I'm so happy he became a father. Because if you've seen him around, I'm sure you're a kid, and then my kids. Like, he's just a great. He's meant to be a dad. He's got to have a. Yeah. He's got to have a bunch of kids because he's
best thing that ever happened to him.
That's fucking great. And yeah. Now you're so busy now with everything going on. Are you still playing any more video games? Didn't you used to be a gamer? Or am I way?
I still do. Yeah, I just I was trying to play once a week. This Thursday's camp. It was a little rough just because my wife's pregnant as well, and so she was got a baby boy on the way. Yay!
That's great.
Thank you so much. So yeah, I've been playing a lot. I have my gaming station I bring with me, so I was playing a little bit yesterday. And actually, I might play with Vellante later.
Oh, and what are you playing? The Call of Duty?
Yeah, the Warzone.
I fucking love shit like that. Yeah, one day you're gonna get into the Oculus Quest, and you'll get into the virtual reality.
I got it. I got that.
Come on, man.
Which one do you have? The connected one or the freestanding? The Quest or Quest 2? Yeah.
Freestanding. I got that with a freestanding. And it's pretty nice. I just got to use it more. I just, you know, I saw that one that you can do, like, it's like a treadmill and you run around and you see that one?
Yeah, yeah. I'm not even have to do cardio.
Wait, you can kind of run on it. I saw an ad for that.
It holds you in place and you like run around. So I think it's great, though, for kids that just sit on a chair all day. It's actually a great exercise.
Well, yeah. I like it because what I do is I sit down and then sometimes I'll just stand up and then I'll just sit down. I don't want to run around though. Virtually, I'll do sprints in the game. Yeah.
All day.
Get population one on there. And okay. then we'll squat up.
Okay.
Champion, a former champ, and then Jimmy, champion in comedy, could join in. A bunch of champs.
Do you have enough room? Because I have an Oculus Quest 2, but I don't have a lot of room in here. I almost broke my hand on Vader Immortal, like a fucking asshole. I'm doing a lightsaber, and I swing it through the barricade that the Quest puts up around you, the virtual, and I forget that I have a kitchen counter, and I almost broke my hand. So do you have enough room to really move around when you do this?
Yeah, I do. I have plenty of room. Yeah, I have a good man cave size room.
Yeah, I wish I had that because I don't really get the full. Every time I move left or right, that stupid grid pops up and it just kind of takes me out of whatever it is I'm doing.
Getting ready to defend his title is one of the greatest ever, and you hurt your hand playing your video game. He's losing respect for us, Jimmy.
No, but he understands. That's how it happens. That's how it happens.
Tell him these stories.
That's how it happened. I was lightsaber training. I hurt my hand training. I was just trying to relate. I understand what it's like. And by the way, you another great point too. Are you your wife was saying that you like everything very, very regimented, like when it comes down to training. So do you have like a little bit of a little OCD about like numbers, or is it just what you eat, or with routine? And
no, not to that extent, but there's like certain things I like to do. Like, you know, like I have sauce before I leave, have the family come over. I have to get there on Mondays. I mean, I'm not totally strict crazy, but I do, you know, I do a lot of things like the same, you know, like before a fight, I have to chew peppermint gum, settles my stomach and stuff like that.
Oh, is that what you're chewing when you walk out? Because you're always chewing gum when you walk out. Oh, I didn't realize what that was for. It looks very casual. It's a great look to walk out. Rogan commented on that once. He's like, you have no idea this guy's walking into fight. Your hat's backwards. You just look completely comfortable and ready to go.
That's like me walking to bed.
Yeah.
Well, you're putting the other guy to sleep, right, Jimmy?
Sorry. Sorry, Jimmy.
I'm not the comedian. Jimmy's the.
No, that was actually a good one. But I didn't have anything.
All I know is I'm going to start getting that spearmint gum, man. I get belly problems.
Peppermint.
I'm going to have peppermint.
No, you shouldn't have told him. You should have let him think spearmint because then the stomach problems get worse. You're blaming you.
It was actually our last fight. I have one coach, he's real, he's like me, OCD, and he bought a bunch of spearmint gum, and he goes, here's your gum. And I looked at him, I'm like, are you kidding me right now? Are you busting my balls? He's like, no, what? I'm like, I don't chew spearmint. He's like, yeah, you do this every fight. And all the coaches were like, no, dude, peppermint. They all knew, too. This dude was flying out of the room trying to find peppermint. It was awesome, dude. It was good. Ortega's that coach just had some water fresh. So I got one of those. So I made him run around for like 20 minutes to find gum, and then he came back like sweating and panting. I was like, I'm good.
I think you found it though, didn't you? Because afterwards, Orlowski's team was looking for soup for him for a while. Jimmy, I'm on a Steve's gonna hang up on us. We gotta go.
Okay. Hey, listen, good luck on Saturday. Not that you need it. I mean, you know, you're one of the most exciting guys ever in the UFC. I think you're the best heavyweight ever. And regardless of what happens, Jones gets to fight the winner, but I know neither one of you guys can look past who you're fighting this Saturday, but good luck, man. We'll talk to you after. You know we love you.
All right, champ.
Love you guys. I appreciate it. You guys have a great Stipe. Night.
Take care, buddy.
All right, Stipe.
What a nice guy. I always say that, but like, watching that Firehouse video of him sweeping up and.
You know, that guy.
You can't fake that. Not in that line of work.
Dude, he's a winner in life. Yeah. He's a winner in life, Jimmy. In life.
You were right. He has it figured out.
Has it figured out. You know, I think it's about knowing, like, your role, what you're here to do. You understand, Jimmy? Look at Dana White. I even asked Dana one time, like I don't know, Dana's got so much money now after that whole thing. It's like, why are you even, like... He'll still get upset when fights fall through. He thinks, like, what do you? He's so invested, he's such a promoter. He's such a part of it.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, why? Like, why would you even care when you got that much cash? I'm asking him, like, dude, you got so much. Like, he's like, this is what I do. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because the quality is a reflection on him. He sees it that way. So if the fight night is great.
Yes.
You know, but if it's a bad night of fights, he seems to take it personally. Like, I think that's one of the reasons the UFC is so good because there's no bullshit. He doesn't sell things that haven't been good. He'll come out and say, yeah, that fight was awful. So if he says a fight was great, or you tend to believe him, you know, you there's always that element of truth coming from him.
Right, Jimmy, I think it's even deeper than that. It's like you put on this earth to just make people smile and chuckle.
You said nauseous wrong.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. I was looking at the news. I can go all over the place. Habib offers to be in Luke Rockhold's corner for return.
Yes, he did.
I like Habib as the coach. I like Coach Habib.
I can't believe he's not fighting again. Like, I mean, I believe it, but I mean, I just don't.
Leave him alone. Don't bully him.
No, it's not a bad way. It's just...
I think he's I'm fine with him not fighting again. I can go back. If I want to nice see it, I'll go back and watch that Michael Johnson fight if I'm in the mood for a Kimura. If yeah. I want to see some stuff, I'll watch some stuff. But I think he's going out on top.
He know? Is. Yeah, he is.
This is great. I'm so happy. I'm so happy that we're still seeing him. You know what I mean? Just involved. Of course he's going to be involved, you know?
What do you think? We haven't talked much about Vicente Luque against Tyron Woodley, which is now the co-main.
And deservingly so.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, and I love Woodley. And he's on a rough streak lately. And Vicente Luque has looked incredible. So this is not an easy fight.
Can I say something?
Yes, sure.
You say Vicente Luque's looked incredible. He's looked incredible his whole freaking career.
Yes.
The only time he was off course is for that enigma of a fighter. I just wanted to say enigma. Wonderboy Thompson. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that guy's he can upset anybody because he's such a hard style to win a fight, especially. Right. And then since then, he came out with both Randy Brown, who I seen Randy Brown last night. He was training at my school.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, rude boy. Far from rude. Very polite, John.
Very nice guy.
Very dangerous, also. He lost from in the second round a KO to Vicente.
It's the knee, right?
And then Nico Price too. We got a KO over him in the third. Yo, Vicente Luque could do it all. I mean, I was watching some of like four stoppages in a row of Tyrone Woodley. And man, could that tyrant come back?
Right.
You know?
I mean, I think with Tyrone, because he's been fighting great fighters, but he hasn't won a round. I can't think of a round he's won in the last certain amount of fights, which tells me that something is off, because he's too good to not win a round against any of these guys. He's too good of a fighter. So there's got to be something else that's happening.
Oh, I realize that, you know, it's been a while.
Yeah.
Where I mentioned this, like he hasn't won in a while, but in the cage.
Yeah.
But in the studio.
Well.
Oh, so in love with you. Oh, so in love with you. Oh, I'm in love with you. Falling in and out of love with you. In and out of love, falling in. I opened my eyes, you're not there, you ass. But listen, he's won in the studio. Come back to the show.
Okay, sorry. I'm coming back.
Jimmy, you can at least mute, but you can pretend like you're still listening.
Sorry.
Listen, all I know is
okay.
He needs to win this fight because I'm in his next rap video, and I don't think he's releasing this shit until he wins. So he's got to do it for me. I don't want to be selfish. Yeah. I want to be in the rap video. Boom. Hold on for the audience at home. All right. Why am I laughing like this? And I can't. I'm looking at where it says our name on the Zoom call. And in all caps, Jimmy wrote boo. That's not, first of all, we know that's not his name. You know, this is very rude. And I don't like to. Oh, shit. All right. Hold on. Let's get back to the show.
So, you want to be in the next video? You want to be in the next video?
You're mindless.
You are.
There's a video out there that I'm in. I seen it, but I don't know why it's not being released. So I'm challenging Tyrone Woodley. He has a challenge.
Yep.
Both from a former champion to a champion. I had nothing to really challenge him, but I just want him to put I don't want him to win. I like Vicente too.
Yeah, I do too.
But I'm saying Tyrone wins. He's due for a win. And
he is.
Yeah. Next thing you know, we're watching that video with me in it. So, hey, if I was on a fence, I'm not on a fence anymore, Jimmy.
No, of course not. And, you know, we've talked to Tyrone quite a bit. We know him fairly well. So, yeah, I would like to see him get a win just because it's, you know, I want to see him kind of get back to what he was doing. You know, I think a loss really hurts him. Really, really hurts him here.
Jimmy, I taught the 7 a.m. class today at my Huntington school. I had over 20 people there. Ain't that nice?
That's amazing. Yeah, that's guys, nice. before work, right? People going back to the offices.
That is my work, but yes, before their work, they go there.
Theirs, yeah.
Listen, I used to be like fearful, like I used to hate my alarm would go off for school. I'd be like, "Yo, is this what like? What about when I graduate, and I get a job, and I'm gonna have to do this and be go to a job? I don't want. I hate. I don't want to do that. I'm not gonna want to wake up.
Right.
But now, dude, how many times a week I'll get up at 5:30 in the morning, 5 o'clock. I'm not an early riser, but I know I'm not going there to do something I don't like. I'm going there to hang out with my buddies. I get there early, get my head straight, take a nice steam. You know, mentally, I get my head
straight. Sure, yeah, of course.
And then I do a nice steam in my shower. I go down. All my friends are there. We're teaching. I'm teaching them. We're just doing all that. What do we do today? A little X-Guard into an X-Guard suite. And this is fun. Fun. Little king of the hill. How long can you work your guard for? And I put a bunch of people down, right? Bunch against the wall. You're working that guard until somebody passes it, all right? And I yell out motivational quotes like from Gandalf, "Thou shall not pass." Do not let them pass your guard. They cannot pass. And, you know, we have fun. You know what I'm saying? But I don't stress about getting up early because I know I can come home and I can take a nice nap, Jimmy.
Yeah, of course you can.
Am I boring you?
No.
I take a nice nap and then I wake up and I look at that beautiful face of yours. You never heard that before, did you?
Never. Not even from my mother when I would smile at her.
That's not nice. Your mother thinks you're beautiful.
She loves me as a person. My mother always told me that I was such a good boy. And then I would say, "Well, why aren't you looking at me?" And she'd say, "Because you're unpleasant."
That's not true. That's not true, Jimmy. Jimmy?
Yes.
You're too small. Oh. You're too small. You know, he changed his everybody. He's changed his names to Matt's penis.
I'm 52 like years that. Old. I'm 52.
You got to be a little more girthy. You eat a lot of carbs. Get a little bloated. Get more bloated.
Okay. Yeah.
I need your me.
Okay.
You're so silly. Let's talk about the fights. You want to talk about
it? Yes. Let's do that. Again, Luque, Tyron Woodley. Stipe Francis, I mean, obviously is going to be a great fight. It depends a lot on what improvements Francis has made because, you know, Stipe is probably not going to want to slug with him. I mean, regardless of nobody wants to stand there and go and just trade punches with Francis. But yeah, how much of it is Stipe in Francis's head? He might be.
Like many of Francis's fights, a lot's going to be determined. We're gonna see how that fight's going the first round. If it's a tough first round, if I feel Stipe he weathers the storm here. A lot of people haven't been able to do it. Stipe's got that, he's so dangerous standing and his wrestling is so legit where,
yeah,
you know, he can do both where I believe he's got heavier hands than like Cain Velasquez, who was technically very dangerous.
Sure.
But he's got that huge head that was like a big volleyball for fucking Francis to fucking
fun,
you know?
JDS and too.
Curtis Blades, I'm not saying he telegraphs his shot, but you know his game plan. So,
yeah.
You know, I think that he can mix it up enough to get him tired, get some blood pumped in those arms, and then it'll be another long fight. Then once Francis feels what it's like to have to fend off that wrestling and the strike, then he might be getting some deja vu of the worst kind.
Maybe a little bit. Or does he, and again, you never know, but were you talking about Derek Lewis against Curtis Blades? Were you talking about Lewis or Francis against Blades? Just that short uppercut when...
But also, you know, I was talking about Francis.
Francis, yeah. But I'm saying if he has incorporated some type of a fast, short uppercut game plan, like to try to stop, because, you know, Lewis, that's what he was waiting for against Blades.
I'm sorry, Jimmy, go ahead.
No, that's okay. I say, will Francis be very, very aware and conscious, and did he work on something like that, a quicker reaction to stopping a takedown?
You know what's crazy, man, in hindsight, again, is always 20/20, but
sure.
Look at Curtis Blades and his fight with Derek Lewis. Dude, he was doing fine standing. Like, he was doing well standing.
Yeah.
And even though you knew he was throwing it just to go and get that clinch eventually, because he knows there's a way better, a slimmer chance of him, you know, getting hurt on the floor.
Right.
But if he could have just kept that standing, he could have really put a beating. Like, because he's heavy handed.
Yeah, he is.
Heavy-handed. You have to hit him enough for him to try to hit you back, and that's when you time it. I mean, again, you're talking about a guy that I spent my first how many UFC fights just trying to achieve that clinch. You know what I mean?
Let me ask you too, Matt. Sure, Jimmy. And again, I don't know when these stats were given, but this is a massive weight difference. They have Ngannou listed at 261. Stipe is listed at 233. And you're right, he's slimmed down. Maybe again, like in Rocky III, wants to go for speed.
He looks like a middleweight. Rock looks like a middleweight. Oh, sorry.
Wants to stay away from Francis. But that's a big difference. And does that affect his ability to hold Francis in place? And what did he, maybe someone could look that up for us. What was the weight difference in the first fight? Was Stipe much closer to Francis? And did he decide that he's going to use more speed? Or was it kind of the same? I just don't remember.
I don't know, man. But he does look like he looks more athletic lately. You know what I mean? Just really just, it's wild, man. That's why I'm like, what'd you go vegan or something? What's going on with you?
Yeah, maybe that's a big part of the game plan is to stay away or just to use, let's see.
A little bit heavier.
He weighed in at 246 at 220, but what did Francis weigh in at? Was he 265? Was he 260?
Dude, he was 265, I guarantee if that guy's
dead. I don't know. No, Francis has been a 250-something a couple times. I might be remembering wrong. For some reason, I thought he didn't always max out at 265.
I remember at one point
263. Okay, yeah, sorry. So it was a 17-pound difference.
Jesus. He's a big boy.
Yeah, big guy, man. Yeah.
He's pumping in those arms. You know, next thing you know, it's a problem.
But Stipe's giving away another 11 pounds now. Again, sorry about that, but that's another 11 pounds. Again, I'm not saying you can't win the fight that way, but does that affect his ability to hold Francis down like that?
I don't know who you're going with. But I look at you as like one of those little hobos in the old days. They'd be like, all right, here's another train. Let's jump on this there, Jimmy. And you get your little stick with your little bandana with your food and stuff, and you jump onto that other train that's coming. Let me jump on this train. Let's get on here. Well, you hang your feet and you eat your little sandwich to get to the next. And you're like a little train hopper.
But
that's what you are. You're like a little bad little naughty train hopper.
No, no, no. Here's where you're wrong. I'm not a ride or die with any fighter record. Like, meaning... It's not a reflection on me. It's just how a guy is performing at the moment is how I pick who I think is going to win. So after Francis lost to Stipe and then which anyone could, but the way he fought against Derek Lewis, I said, man, he's lost some confidence. And so I didn't pick him in the fight after that because he didn't seem like stop. But I would have been crazy to not think that because of the way he fought against Lewis and not pulling the trigger. I'm like, man, that fight really affected his confidence. But I'm not on a – I love Francis, and I liked Francis before a lot of people liked Francis. But, I mean, he's fighting the heavyweight champion of the world, and, you know, I can't be blind and go, well, he hits so hard, he's going to beat Stipe. I mean, you know, Stipe's been hit hard before, and Stipe knows how to get out of the way of punches, and he's a really smart fighter, and he hits hard. So that said, Francis, first round KO. No, I'm kidding. I don't.
That's fucking wrong.
I'm joking. Really joking. I certainly don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, I think we should make a prediction on that one though, because come on, people want to know what we think.
I know.
I know you're not a ride or die with that. I like the way you said that. It was very gangster. But yeah. Could you just tell me and be like, yo, I'm not a ride or die with that, but I'm a ride or die with my co-host, boy.
Well, yeah, I love my co-host, but I mean, I don't look at a fighter because even if I think a fighter is going to lose a fight, it doesn't mean I don't really like that guy. Like with a baseball team, it's different. You know, that's my team, but I don't have a fighter where I go, that's my guy, because we talk to all of them.
As a guy that doesn't watch sports, I do not understand when people are like, it's like, yeah, but now it's a bunch of different players. Like, what are you fucking talking about? Is your team the same team you've been following for 20 years? There's not one player on there. What do you like about that team? Their fucking jersey? Is it the colors? Oh, I've been following the Cubs because they're from my... I'm a Yankees guy. I like when people hear from New York, Yankees or Mets. I'm like, neither.
Yeah.
They go, nothing with a ball. How about that? Uh-huh. What are you, some wimp? They don't say that.
No. But that's a different type of rooting, though. That's a different type of thing. But when you know how it is, man. I mean, you fought. But I've interviewed so many of these guys. It's hard to like one over the other because you, like, when you're rooting, when you're watching a fight between two guys that you really like, it's like, I'm kind of happy for whoever's doing, like watching Brunson against Kevin Holland. I was like, fuck me. I love to see Kevin Holland eventually get a shot at Adesanya. But then as Brunson was winning, I'm like, oh, fuck, I'm really happy for Derek Brunson because everybody writes him off all the time. It's very difficult to pick favorites in, in UFC.
To me, the glass is always half full.
What's that mean?
That has nothing to do with anything. I'm just trying to be positive. You know what I'm doing later? I'm going back to my school because that's what heroes do. Not really. That's from a movie. No. But that's what I do. You know? I have my hand, you know what I like to do? I like to make good people dangerous. Because there's evil out there, Jimmy.
That's nice.
That's my saying. Making good people dangerous since 1998. That's me in Long Island.
Ah.
Because there's a lot of assholes out here. You know, you cut somebody off out here, they cut you off. They cut you off, they look at you. What's your problem? Right? What my problem? I'm striving here. You understand? You want to be equipped, Jimmy. And I'm not talking about with a firearm. I'm talking about making your little bird body a weapon.
Yeah, I kind of just do that, like a karate stance. My hands bend the wrong way. I do like that.
Jimmy, don't do the fist like this no more. When you do that, when you put your thumb on the inside, don't do that. You can break
your thumb. Like this. You
break your thumb. That's the way to do a fist. Okay. Well, come
on, I was joking. I wouldn't punch like this.
I know. Jimmy, you really? I got you. If so, I'd never have Jimmy Rivera on here again.
No, I do it like this. I punch like this, like I got your nose. That's how I punch.
You like that? You find the little pressure points like Remo Williams. You ever seen the movie Remo Williams?
I have not.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't watch it. I wouldn't recommend it.
Okay.
It's fucking horrendous. But I think it's based off some book series in like the 80s. And he was supposed to be like the next James Bond. But yeah, it's safe to say after watching Remo Williams,
yep,
there's not going to be a Remo Williams 2, unfortunately.
But I have a doctor's appointment, so I'll.
Well, you might have a doctor's appointment, but you know what else is sick? The card this weekend.
That's right.
I'm on fire today, Jimmy.
Yes, you are.
I might just come down and do an open mic one day.
You should. You're very funny.
You'll be like, I'm his friend. I mean, he brought me, and you'll be like trying to hide. I go, Jimmy.
Yeah.
Okay. Listen, this weekend I'm taking this Saturday night, March 27th at the.
That's right.
Apex Center in Las Vegas, Nevada. Prelims 8 p.m. on ESPN, ESPN Plus, and the main card on pay-per-view at 10 o'clock. I can't wait. I think that's I'm going to say this right now. I believe that Steve. Oh, by the way, I'm looking forward to seeing the return of Sugar Shane O'Malley.
Sugar Shane, yeah, me too. Oh, Sean O'Malley, sorry, yeah, Sugar Shane, yes.
You called me up there. And Thomas Almeida, I think that's a great. I'm looking forward to the whole card. I believe that Stipe will hold on to that belt.
I think Francis gets him this time. I love Stipe, but I think that if there's a 28-pound difference, if he's giving away 28 pounds, that's a big amount to be given away to a guy. And again, last time it was 17 pounds. That's not easy either. But I think if it's a 28-pound difference, it's a little harder to physically maneuver and stay on top of Francis. I think that's a tougher
round head and arm choke, Stipe Miocic.
Okay. Okay, fair enough.
It's on top, it's a problem.
Yeah.
He's got subs. All right, listen, we're going to have a good time, Jimmy. I will text you throughout.
Yes, buddy.
All right, later on, I might FaceTime you. I'll keep you in suspense. Maybe I won't. We'll see. Okay, and I'll talk to you later, Jimmy.
All right, pal, talk to you soon. Thank you to Stipe Miocic, who we love, and Matt, I'll talk to you this weekend.
Love you, buddy. Bye, everybody.
Bye, pal. I love you, too.